Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 102 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here. Actually, we are the official podcast of SempreInter.com, but we are here for the post-match reaction of Young Boys versus Inter, which finishes 1-0 to the visitors with a goal from Marcus Thuram in the 93rd minute. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. Johnny, you've been a fan for a long time. Pazza Inter is ingrained in you, and you've seen a lot. Are you throwing this game in your Pazza Inter top 10?
About my Pazza Inter top 10, but I am throwing in this in my "this is the worst I've seen us play" top 10.
Wow.
That's where that's definitely going. That was, we made young boys look like grown men out there. I'm just going to I'm going to say it. I'm going to use the cheesy clichés, the terrible puns coming out full-fledged. Yeah, very disappointed to watch that performance. You know, I wouldn't say the privilege, but I did have the chance to watch that game at work. Mind you, I work with, our sporting director is a Juve fan. Our CEO is a Lazio fan. I'm all alone, and I'm hearing it about how bad we're looking. And I couldn't even defend it. It was a disgusting display.
I don't think it was anywhere close to how you're describing it, to be honest. What? I think it may have been influenced by
guys,
by what was around you.
Guys, I think we've lost Alessandro. I think we've lost. I don't know if he watches the same games.
I watched the games. I watched them very intently, and I don't think it was anywhere close to as bad as some people will have you believe. But we'll get into it. We'll talk about it. And we'll see how everyone feels. I am aware that after today, we're walking away with 3 points, an important 3 points before we head into Arsenal and Leverkusen, and of course playing Juventus at the weekend. There's definitely a lot to criticize Inter about, but I'm just very happy that we got these 3 points, which was a deserved 3 points. Without question, we created a ton of, you know what? Let's go ahead and recap this game.
I don't even know if I want to talk to you right now. I don't even know if I want to be here. This is crazy.
It's not crazy, but we'll talk about it. So here's the thing. Not going to do 60-second recaps. Just going to do a recap. Going to try to get through it as quickly as possible. But the fact of the matter is, from what game did I start doing this for? Was it Udinese to games like this? There's just too much going on. So let's get through it as quickly as possible. Rafa recap part two, I guess, starting now. Match day 3 in the Champions League, and Inzaghi does his best Usher impression as Inter head to Let It Burn Switzerland with a lineup faker than the artificial turf that played host to a game that would end up being Pazza Inter at its finest. Inter decided to help Jan Sommer feel at home with a little bit of Swiss cheese defense as Young Boys cleared up their email inbox by spamming crosses his way. Beppe obviously forgot to pay the Wi-Fi bill as there was no connection with the forwards until Bissek does his best Bastoni impression for a 1-2 with Taremi. That ends up being our best chance of the first half if you decide to look past Dumfries being unable to get any of his headers on target. The Arnautovic agenda loses supporters faster than Bud Light after a Dylan Mulvaney commercial for a penalty miss that can only be described as limper than my co-host on a Friday night. Unfortunately, Augusto may have sacrificed his hammy for a new head of hair, but not to worry, as Inter surely must score. It's a Di Marco volley and, oh, that's why. Wait, here comes Taremi and, oh, that's over the bar. Surely, Zielinski will get his first with Inter and, that's hard to watch. I guess I should listen to Inter Twitter and pack this up. Oh no, is that a Lauti backheel? DiMarco cross, Thuram puts it away. Inter wins 1-0 at the death. never a doubt. Whew. Never a doubt. And that was your recap.
First off, I hate you. Okay. Let's just get that out there right now. Okay. Yeah. Me, limp on a Friday. Inexcusable. Never, not even remotely true. Second,
I'm going to start calling you Arnautovic.
Second, never in doubt. My brother,
never in doubt.
There were some doubts. Don't lie. Don't lie to our listeners like that. Listen, I want us to be honest on here, and you're flat out lying to them.
I'm not lying. Never in doubt. For a period of time, there was doubt.
So you were lying.
That's
then.
Fair.
Okay.
I just wanted to quote John Denver from 1988, and you know, say that it was never in doubt. But so it's obvious that we both have mixed feelings about this performance. And also, guys, I'm being a little bit of you know, a little bit mellifluous here. Like, obviously, it wasn't a great performance.
How dare you use that word as if our listeners know what that means? I'm kidding. I'm sorry. If anything, that was more rude for me. So I'm kidding, people. I'm kidding.
I know that it wasn't a great performance. I just think that there was a lot of, we created a lot of good chances that we should have put away. Like I mentioned, you know, in the recap, like DiMarco should have scored. Taremi should have scored. Zielinski should have scored. Obviously, Arnautovic should have scored.
I don't think that's a good game then. If you're unable to finish your chances.
We're not unclinical, for sure unclinical, but they did create a lot of opportunities. And also,
but it's the same excuse.
There were two shots on target against us, by the way. So that the other thing too is like, you know, there was a lot of countering from young boys, but it wasn't very effective. So anyway,
a lot of young boys.
I have a few topics here. I know we're not going to go super long tonight, but let's go ahead and get into some stuff. So first, I want to talk about this lineup featuring two players who played out of position or out of their typical position. Barella at regista and Bisek at left center back. I just want to start with your thoughts on how both of those individuals performed in roles that are unfamiliar to them as far as what we've seen from their careers.
Listen, I think given the circumstances, they did as good as they could. You know, I was actually kind of happy to see that Bisek was given that opportunity to play on the left side, which is something that we've been calling for on this podcast. You know, you've been a big proponent of that too, especially given that he has done it in his past. And we wanted to see what we actually had at our disposal there. To be honest, for the most part, I was very pleased with our defensive three. I think all of them played pretty well. You know, De Vrij actually looked sharp, which you want leading into the game this weekend. And yeah, I was very pleased with Pavard and Bisek there. As for Barella, I thought there was a lot of good in that as well. There were some times where he was in the defensive third and he would get the ball, and I think he took a little too long to release his teammates. But that's really my only complaint with him there. I think he did do good defensively. And his passing was awesome. I mean, he gave so many great balls to guys, especially to our wingers or wingbacks. You know, I can think of the one that really
that
stands
outside
out
outside of the boot to
Brick Freeze, who trips over himself, and I don't understand
how
you
pass. Ridiculous pass. To even attempt that was fucking insane.
But then to trip over yourself in open space with nobody within a country mile of you, it's inexcusable. And if it were up to me, he would be sold to young boys himself, and I wouldn't care what the return would be. That's how disappointed I was with his performance today. Some people will say that, you know, he did great earning a penalty and drawing fouls. I don't know. Even the penalty was questionable to me, to be honest. Like, God, anyway. But yeah, I was with those two guys specifically playing out of their natural positions, I think they both did very well for the most part.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. Like, it looks different. Bisek and Barella definitely looks different. You saw when Bastoni came on, you know, it definitely looks a lot better. And then also with Barella, like, it looks different from Hakan, but it's not, I don't think it's a major drop off. Why don't we get into Dumfries, since we were just talking about that. Before the game, I tweeted that he was the make the most of your moment player for the day. And I'm so disappointed in him. So disappointed in him. But the reality is, like, you're in the midst of a contract renewal where you've been asking for like $5 million a year, probably going to end up, you know, $4 million a year with no release clause. You're giving interviews talking about how you want to be playing more at Inter, that you do perform better for the Netherlands than when you do at Inter. Darmian is firmly ahead of you at this point. You're playing a Champions League game against a team that is currently sitting 11th, I think, in the Swiss League. How do you pull that performance out of your ass? With all that going on, like, you need to play well. You need to show that you've got this. And just so sloppy. Like, so sloppy, so unable to make the most of the opportunities that he had. I think he had one dangerous cross into the area, and that's about it. He got sombreroed by the defender, who, in my opinion, should have been sent off for the penalty. Just awful out of Dumfries. And now, I think I've been saying that right wing back is a spot for me that I think is a problem. Now I very firmly feel like this is the position that we need to make. We need to get someone, you know, possibly even in January, because this is bad. This is bad. We're a lopsided team that's way stronger on the left, and terrible.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, we'll get into that, but overall, just terrible from Dumfries. I don't know if there was anything you wanted to add to that.
No, there's nothing I want to add to that. I don't want to upset some of his loyalists. So,
yep.
That's that with him.
Did you think that the turf had any effects on the performance today?
For him or for the team overall?
For the team overall. The ball moved faster. Yeah.
Listen, I'm of the mindset you play what you play on. Mm. You know, like, do I think it could have effects? Of course. We've seen bad pitches in Serie A where it's played a factor in the way Inter play. Maybe making it harder for us to be faster in counterattacks, making it harder to pass balls along the ground. I will say, yes, I agree with you that the ball did move faster on the turf. But at the same time, it's like, you are a much better quality club than Young Boys. Like, we should have been up 4-0 at halftime and rested people. Like, this should have been a game we got to see Baron Brook play. Like, that's what I wanted
ideally
to see.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you're up 4-0, throw the kids out there, let them all have fun, make your first appearance in a Champions League game. You know, like, I am a little annoyed with the performance, but I'll listen to people say that, you know, the pitch could have played a factor. That doesn't mean I'm going to give it any weight, you know?
Yeah, I'm not either. I think, you know, maybe early on it takes a second to understand the speed, but outside of that, like, you know,
100%.
We both played, like, we played on turf and we played on grass. It's really not, I don't think it makes much of a difference, even though it seems like coaches love to talk about it. All right, I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh, boy.
Putting in a shift versus gunning for a starting spot. Two different things, right? Gunning for a starting spot is, I'm going after this game and I want my name to be on the starting 11 week in and week out. Versus putting in a shift is, I know my role, I'm just subbing in here, and it is what it is. Let's go through the players that came into the side today. Taremi, putting in a shift or gunning for a starting spot?
It felt like he was putting in a shift, if I'm being honest. I don't think that he was gunning for a starting spot. Did I want him to gun for a starting spot and make us have some thoughts? Absolutely. But it felt like he was kind of going through the motions. It's almost like he knew not to overexert himself, because if he got tired or fatigued, which is, again, something we got to think about too with this, right? We have Juve coming up this weekend. Maybe he was kind of instructed potentially to, hey, don't go too crazy, because I can't afford to put in, you know, Lauti and Thuram the 55th minute or something. You know, I want to have them fully fresh for this game.
Yeah. Same thing with Arnautovic and Dumfries.
Arnautovic, I would say, I wouldn't even say he was putting in a shift. It was more of orange cone. You're just there directing traffic. You didn't really do anything. You didn't prevent the accident. You were an absolute mess. I tweeted to you that I can no longer defend him. And listen, that's I've fair. Been one of his biggest fans. I've also been, I was excited for him to come back. I was excited because maybe I was, it was more nostalgia than anything, because he was a part of that treble team, partially. And he seems to be a guy who is good for the locker room. But at some point, man, you need to come through. You need to come through when your club needs you. And it's to miss that penalty. And the crazy thing is, if I'm not mistaken, it was Sharma who shared it. He was 20 for 22 on penalties. So it's not like he's a terrible penalty taker. It's, you know, and I've seen him. He's done it for Bologna.
He just scored a penalty over the international break as well.
Yes. So, and it's not like he is, you know, he's not a slouch, but that was a terribly taken penalty. I like, the goalkeeper made a save, but to me, like, you didn't even pick a corner, really. He didn't have to move far for that.
Yeah.
Big mistake on him. And then you could see the way he reacted when he got subbed out. I know it bothers him, and I understand he's human. But buddy,
of course,
you can't carry that now for the next 3, 4, 5 matches. Like, it's just, you can't have
that
kind of
mindset. That's what has been the biggest problem with him, is that he's a head case, not in the sense of like he's a head case on the pitch where, you know, he's a loose cannon and can go off, but he's more of a head case where, I think, you know, for the listeners, I'm not sure that we have a ton of baseball fans, but in baseball, like, you can't take one at bat into your next at bat.
Exactly.
You flail at some pitches, like, you, whatever it is, you cannot bring that into the next at bat. And with Arnautovic, it feels like every action on the pitch, if it's a miscontrol, a failed, a failed trick or something like that, he carries that
everything
with him.
Yep.
He's just, he's just broken. I think he's just broken in the head.
He is. And, you know, I said earlier in the season that, hey, who cares? He's just a fourth striker. It's not that big of a deal. We're coming up to a busy part of the season, and it's like, dude, you need to be able to help your club when they call on you. And if you're going to take this negativity and carry it over into your next 3, 4, 5 performances, you know, appearances, I should say, that's not going to do us any good. You're not going to, we're going to be playing a man down with you if you're out there like that. And that's, I never will listen. And it's the same thing for Dumfries. I never want guys to fail. Never. Yeah. This is my club. Mm-hmm. I want you to be successful. I want you to be able to, I want to be able to cheer for every single player. But it comes a time where you recognize that certain guys just aren't good enough to be making appearances for this club. Whether it's Arnautovic, whether it's Dumfries, whether it's Aslani. I'm not rooting for you to fail. I'm not like actively saying like, oh yes, this guy sucks. I'm so happy that he sucks. Everyone can see it. No, that's not the case. But it's like, I also don't feel confident that when you're needed, or God forbid there's a major injury or something, I don't feel comfortable being able to put you out on the pitch and think that you'll be able to do a job for us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be, I'm in the same boat as you, where it's like, if you're currently rostered at the club, you're going to get my support and I'm going to want you to do the best that you can every time you touch the pitch. But I understand people being completely out on him now. I get it. And I really hoped for better for him, because I do think, like, again, if his mind is right, he is not an amazing player. He's a player that can contribute for you in a short stint. But I think he's shot mentally. I hated the visual of once the game was over that he's still sitting on the bench. Like, just let it go in that moment.
It's over. You got the 3 points.
They picked you up. Like, they fucking picked you up.
Yeah.
He's too worried about, and Inter fans are ruthless and they're going to go after him. But
like, and I love that Inzaghi went over to him after.
Yeah.
But at the same time, your manager shouldn't have to go over. And like, you should be automatically, like, proactively getting up, going to celebrate with your teammates, saying like, hey, you know, I effed up. Thank you for picking me up, Marcus. Thank you, you know, Fede for putting in a shift and helping us get those 3 points. You know, Lauti doing your job, you know, like all that. I would have been just going to each guy individually, probably apologizing, or not even individually. Maybe I would just said, you know, tell, hey, I messed up. That's on me. I apologize for not coming through when you guys called me, you know, gave me the opportunity. And that's it. Just move on. But you can't sulk, man. That doesn't look good.
Not as a 35-year-old, not as the veteran that was on this team when they won a treble. Not this team, was at the club when they won a treble when you were a kid. And like, you're supposed to be,
And you saw how they all carried themselves. You saw how they would react when things weren't going their way. The only guy who really had problems was Balotelli. Cambiasso
is never going to find himself on the bench sulking like that if he missed the penalty. Yeah. Like, it's just...
Schneider wouldn't have been like that. Milito, Eto, everybody would have just... And they would have picked each other up. You know,
It sucks. So last thing on the Arnautovic thing, and then I quickly want to finish out this this thing. For you and for Inzaghi, do you think a door has been opened for Correa to move from fifth to fourth here?
For me, no. For Inzaghi, sure. I could see that. You know, I am, and listen, people, you can disagree with me all you want, and I'll be fine. I'll be willing to have conversations about this, but I don't think there is a world in which Joaquin Correa offers this club more than what Arnautovic can. That's how I feel. I'm not discounting everything I just said about him. But there's not a world where I could see, if Joaquin Correa can't score in France, which has Bakers and Flores playing defense, I can't expect him to do anything for me at this club. I don't care if we have more talent than Marseille. He's trash. Yeah. He's trash.
I just wonder if...
I think he will be moved to the fourth. I'm not saying, but I'm saying if it was me, he would never see the pitch. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, look at the run of games that we have coming up. Like, we're going to be playing Juve and Napoli pretty soon. We're going to be playing Leverkusen and Arsenal pretty soon. So
he could play the Leverkusen game. How about that?
It's just going to get very curious.
You can play against the Germans, but you can't play against anybody else, you know.
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. So Dumfries is put in a shift, did not gun for a top spot. Fratesi.
A shift. We're going to say that he put in a shift.
Less than a shift. He didn't show up to work today.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Call out. Yeah, he punched in, but he wasn't there.
Right.
Fratesi.
Smoking a blunt in the bathroom.
That's what he was doing. He was getting high with the staff anyway. Fratesi, gunning for a spot. There were some things that I was annoyed with Fratesi too. I thought that he was making some careless mistakes personally. Mm-hmm. When I say gunning, I mean, I guess, is he gunning for a spot if he already has it?
Well, you know, the ideal midfield, or at least in Inzaghi's mind, I thought that he has.
I thought Zielinski was gunning for a spot.
Yeah,
like he was gunning, like, hey, I should be starting against Juve instead of Fratesi, with what he came on and it was a difference.
It was a difference, and he missed some bad stuff. But he also in 18 minutes he had 3 shots on goal or 3 opportunities there, whereas Fratesi and Mkhitaryan had nothing the whole game.
And then he also had the thing with Fratesi is that he's had the defense.
Yeah, no, I mean he was good. I'm pretty disappointed in him for skying that ball over the box, over the bar, like sure, very late into the game.
I am too.
Yeah. He had three opportunities that he really fucked up. But anyway, Fratesi, I think he's put in a lot of minutes for this team and he's starting to get tired. Recently he's been playing a lot.
He's the youngest midfielder.
Yeah, but he faded towards the end of the game. I mean, it's been a lot of minutes on him recently.
Bro, the way you and the frat party like just coddle this guy.
It's not coddling. It's just coddling, thinking about bro. It for coddling. What it is. Looking at it
nobody,
for what it is.
Nobody okay, says this about Barella.
What about Augusto?
Man, he's gunning for a spot, but then he got hurt. That just breaks my heart. I thought he was
good. I thought he was putting in a shift. I thought really? He was putting in a shift.
I thought yeah. his going forward was disappointing in some aspects. Like some of his the crosses.
The one thing
were not...
that he did that was memorable, but outside of getting injured, was the pass into.
Yo, that's messed up.
What?
Outside of getting injured, that was the one he did that was memorable. Outside
my thing
of getting
said
injured.
Trying to reconnect, so I thought I. But the one thing outside of getting injured that was memorable for me was the pass into Taremi to do the 1-2 with Bissek. Or to do the layoff yeah, to Bissek.
I mean, yes, I will. Yes, I would agree. He didn't do a lot that was memorable, but I also think that he did. I feel better with him defensively out there, and I think he put in a shift. Like he put in a good shift, I should say, defensively. Yes, going forward, it's always something that you hope he gets. And again, I mean, it sucks that he got hurt, though. You know, like I feel like he was.
It does.
He was playing a pretty good game. I wouldn't say like, you know, I wouldn't put it higher than a 6, but I think, you know, I thought I was happy with his performance overall.
Yeah. And we'll talk about his injury in a little bit here. But then lastly, and this is really the point of this whole exercise, the only one of the players that came into the side today that I feel like really wants to start or really was gunning for it was Bissek. And he even said it in interviews before the game that like he just wants minutes. He just wants minutes. And
yeah,
I think
so he can
like
go back
he's...
to Germany.
What do you mean so we can go back to Germany?
He said he wants to go back, you know, and play in Germany.
All right, yeah, in the future, but I'm just
that's,
saying
that's
like
his goal.
He
that's his goal.
Am
you know,
I
Bayern
wrong?
Bayern aren't going to come calling if I don't get minutes. That's what I'm hearing.
Can you just fucking
you're not wrong. Christ you're not sake. Wrong. He was the best one. I said in the beginning. I thought that he was great. So yeah, I would agree with you there. But I don't. I mean, so yeah. you're just talking strictly. Yeah, you're talking strictly the guys who started that were typically on the bench. Okay. Yeah.
The guys who came in and could have made their mark. I think Bissek did so. I think Inzaghi is going to start playing him more, especially. There's a couple things going up here. So the next thing to really talk about is this Carlos injury. So
we're so screwed. We are so
more,
screwed.
More likely, Tejan starts playing because he's now training with the team. I think it's time for him to make an appearance. Or we see more Dumfries on the right and Darmian on the left to spell Di Marco.
Yeah, I think. See, but I think they go hand in hand. I think that Tejan will get minutes, which will because of the injuries will push Darmian to the left, and then Tejan will
you
be covered for Dumfries.
To the right?
Yeah, I think that's. It seems like that's what Simone has been doing. I'm sorry, no, Simone has been putting Tejan on the left, but
the
I
left,
think.
The left.
Oh man. Listen, if it were up to me, we would be moving Tejan to the right because I need...
Agree, yeah.
Like, I feel like if you have him with his pace and Di Marco, even though that leaves you vulnerable defensively, I think that would be a dangerous combo because I think crosses from Di Marco coming into Tejan, who could lay it off for the other guys or do something, could be interesting to see, but...
You know what the sad thing is that I think Simone's internal depth chart right now with the Augusto injury looks like this. Left wing back, Di Marco, Darmian, Tejan. Right wing back, Darmian, Dumfries, Tejan. That's how I think he sees it in
yeah,
his head.
Yeah, I see. And yeah, I see some racism towards Canadians, and no, I don't know how I feel about it. That's what it is. I think he might be a little racist towards North American players.
Fake news.
I'm just saying, bro. Listen,
that's how I can see him playing.
Give me my Canadian, my maple Mycon. Get him out there. I just invested money in a freaking Intercard of his for, you know, like, I needed to get some value here.
I want to see him too.
And I've liked everything I've seen from him. I really have. Tejan? Every time he's put on an Inter kit, I've liked it. The outside of the
word
18,
dangerous
the
comes
curler,
to mind.
The curler outside the box, beautiful. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's my Canadian. I don't need Jonathan David. I got Tejan Buchanan.
Yeah. No, I want to see more of him. I'm just
and in
I'm
the words of Nima Tovali Rude Sari, I stand by that. That's right. That's what I'm going with. I stand by that. So
penalty incident.
Yeah.
Penalty
we gotta get more. We gotta get more of Captain Canades out there. And it's not even. It's just because I feel like we're lacking so much pace, and we're lacking dribbling, and we're lacking creativity, that we need a guy who can come in and offer those things. If we can have the dribbling, we can have the attacking, you know, the ability to take on your man. I think once again we're like near the bottom of dribbling.
We are
in Serie A, so why would we not want to give this guy a chance to get out there and be able to help in that aspect? That's how I feel.
I feel the same. Let's see how Inzaghi plays this out. All right. Last thing I want to talk about on the match, and then we'll get into any other players that we haven't spoken about that we want to shout out, and then Q&A. So the penalty incident, you said earlier that you thought it was a soft penalty.
Personally, yeah.
I thought it was clear.
Yes, he gets his arm around him. But like I don't know. To me,
Dumfries' reaction is over the top, but the foul is there.
That's how I feel. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
I didn't think it like, and maybe soft penalties. Yes, I just think it. The reaction made it look soft to me. If that makes sense, like it was just like
it was a little floppy.
Little floppy. That's and I get it. You're in the box. It's kind of expected that people do. It's not just every club does it. Look at this. I can't even talk tonight, bro. I'm so tired. Every club does it. I mean, even Conceição yesterday was even worse. It was even more of a disgusting flop. It's like they got a Portuguese Cuadrado now. So I'm looking forward to that this weekend. But
that was really bad.
That was disgusting. Tim, I agree. Like I think you said it perfectly. It's the foul's there. The reaction made it worse.
Should have been a yellow. Should have been a second yellow. I think so.
Like if you're gonna call a penalty in that, I don't know why you don't.
That seemed weird.
Like that. Yeah. Like it's like the foul's the penalty's enough. Like, but if you're gonna call that, like, yes, like you're impeding him and you're doing it in a way that's clear. It's like if you're gonna call the penalty, I feel like you at that in that moment you have to give
you,
a second
you
yellow.
You got a yellow. You're on a yellow card. You just gave up a penalty. Like that's your.
Like
you're
how do you not
now.
Get
that's,
the second? Yeah. Like see you later.
Yeah.
Like we warned you.
Yeah.
And
it's gonna
you still
be
went back
to
and
see.
Did something stupid, but you know.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what the Italian media says about that because.
Oh, you mean when they say nothing about that?
They're gonna say something for sure.
We'll see.
All right, let's get into which players we haven't spoken about here. Jan Sommer. I'll let you take it away.
My man, this guy, Jan Sommer. So in my lifetime, I've experienced four goalkeepers. No, sorry, five. I forget about Onana because it was a one-year thing. I don't even know if I want to count Onana because he wasn't here multiple years. So I'm going to say 4 years where I've been able to experience, or I'm sorry, four goalkeepers that I've been able to experience for multiple years between Toldo, Julio Cesar, Handanovic, and Sommer. And I'm going to, my hot take might be, I might put Sommer as my second favorite that I've seen.
No.
You're putting Handanovic second over Sommer?
So who is it? It's
Julio Cesar is my favorite. Cesar. Julio Cesar is my favorite.
Yep. I think I like Toldo.
I'm going Sommer, Handanovic, and Toldone.
I think
Toldo I love more so for the national team.
I love Toldo.
That's the like I remember like I would Raptors. Always like see like that's a but like to me like his performance at Euro 2000 is always my favorite and first memory of him. Like it's more so what he did in that tournament than what he did for Inter for me.
He also I'm not had saying a big he's not a character. Good. Like he was a big.
He was a fantastic character. A lot of personality. Yeah. I would agree with you there. All right, so maybe I'm being a little ridiculous. That might have been a stupid.
You're loving. So, you're loving Sommer. Can I say what I loved about Sommer today? Only had to make two saves. Only had to make two saves. 8 of 12 on long balls. 67% accuracy on the long.
That's
balls.
What I was that's loving. But then very also. Good. He was also, I thought he was very quick to react to things. And I think because he knew the pitch was fast, he was quicker off his line to stop things from being able to be built up. There was a few times where he came way up high to catch balls and be able to bring them down and then automatically start to counter. I think a lot of that goes unnoticed. And most people think only about saves and not so much the mental aspect of goalkeeping. And I feel like he's a very cerebral goalkeeper. He is very quick to think. I think his height is definitely a disadvantage in some aspects, but he's a goalkeeper that I just think is very good. And maybe not my second favorite goalkeeper I've ever seen for Inter, but I will say that I am very much liking my time with Sommer, and I don't even know if I'm ready. If he continues like this, I don't even know if I could say that he's ready to step aside for Martinez next year. Like, obviously, we have a lot of football left.
Contractually, he would, but unless he wants to do a little sweetheart deal, one more year.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that's the thing to think about because it's like if you let him go, right? Who's backing up Martinez?
I can't even think about that right now. That's
okay.
That's
sorry.
A
all right, we don't have to think about that right now. But I'm just
that's
saying,
a
like,
scary.
He's a guy that I want. To hopefully extend, because I would rather him than Dumfries if I'm gonna pay someone $5 million a year.
That's fair. All right, I'm looking at this D. We talked about Devadai, good game from him, encouraging performance. We talked about Bisek, another good game from
Bisek and Bauer.
Benji Pavard. That's a bounce back game for me, dude. That's a bounce back game.
But are we going to say it was a fantastic game. I'm not taking that away. But do we also think that the lack of quality in the other team may have played a factor in that?
Maybe, but
listen, he made a goal saving save in the first half where he came sliding in with a nice challenge that saved the shot on goal. That probably would have been because of its proximity to goal, and because of the venom that it was shot with, it probably would have gone through Sommer potentially. I don't know, but to me, that was a fantastic tackle. So you know what? Like, yeah, you know, I'm not gonna take anything away from Benji. I apologize, Benjamin. You French bastard, you.
3 for 3 on ground duels, 4 interceptions. 2 for 2 dang, on long balls, 52 for 54 in passing, 96% passing accuracy. I thought he
dang.
Was like,
we got Jalen Ramsey and Jaden Daniels wrapped up in one player right there, man.
Listen, this is a player that we need to bounce back because he's likely going to be 100%. Getting starts in the big games, and we need him to look like himself a little bit. So this was
listen. Chances are, hey, I got a crazy idea, and I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah,
Inter Juve, Benji on the right. Bisek on the left, Bastoni in the middle.
Bastoni in the middle.
He's doing it for the national team.
He is. I was thinking about that today. If something happened to De Vrij because he kept like clutching at his knee, that you would have to kick Bastoni inside.
Thoughts?
Oh, man. My only concern was would be one of them getting caught out. But we've basically seen Calafiori slip into midfield for the national team, and Bastoni hasn't really been caught out. So I guess it could work. I am interested in seeing that. I don't know against Juventus, but I am interested in seeing that.
I'm assuming that if something is wrong with De Vrij.
At this point, we would have to, because Augusto's out, so you can't, your back of left center back is now gone. Palacios is a kid. It's possible that we do see that. Do you want to throw up a little bit?
Not really. I didn't even eat yet.
Who do you think had the highest rating on FotMob for Inter?
It's probably going to be Dumfries.
How did Dumfries get an 8.4 for doing
I'm sorry, what?
What? For doing. Dude, for doing what?
What do they give? 2 points for earning a penalty? I'm convinced that Huyan works at FotMob. I'm convinced. We don't know what he really does. We don't know.
Look at this.
You can't. No. I'm not. I saw the blue. I saw the star. No.
That is wild.
That is disgusting behavior.
That's like you know like PFF behavior. The PFF grades for football, and they'll be like Jalen Ramsey's the worst cornerback in the league or some shit. It's like, what are you watching?
My favorite is actually I don't have to get into PFF, but like that's
terrible.
Oh gosh, like I feel like the people that work at those companies, they don't watch games and they don't understand football. They just go off of
The algorithm is clearly fucking
Huyan's
broken.
Tweets. That's literally what they're going off of. They're just reading Huyan's tweet. And Jules, that other Canadian bastard. Anyway.
We gotta talk about this bench a little bit. From the bench, we get an assist and a goal. Thuram with the goal. Di Marco with the assist. Bastoni came in, played super well. Lautaro was involved with the goal at the end. Zielinski had several shots on target. Someone said Inter was in trouble and they subbed on the Avengers. And I can't argue against that. Di Marco, Zielinski, Lautaro, Bastoni, and Thuram? Is that the greatest substitution window of all time? Look at that. Look at those players.
Those guys should be starting, obviously. Like, now let's think about it. Now let's think about it in reverse, right? The guys that could have come on for them were, let's say hypothetically, you got De Vrij, Augusto. Yeah. That's taking a shot at Augusto. Sorry. Fratesi.
Taremi Arnautovic.
Do you want those five on when you need a goal?
Not great, but let me imagine you're.
I will say yes. That is definitely the Avengers for sure.
Yeah.
Or
you're the coach of Young Boys. You're holding Inter to a 0-0 draw, and then you're praying,
and then you see those five come on. You're like, you're just looking at your bench, and you're just like shrugging. You're like shrugging. You're like, good effort, boys. Good effort, Young Boys.
Yeah, I thought Di Marco came on and like completely changed the game.
Can we talk about your terrible Usher reference saying "Let It Burn"? I feel like that went under the radar, and people are just gonna like kind of skim over that. But it needs to be brought up again because
I know it was bad.
If I could have inserted a GIF right there that said "Dies of Cringe," that would have been it right there.
I knew it was bad. I knew it was bad as I wrote it. I knew it was bad as I said it.
Guys, I want you to know that Alessandro has told me he's gone to the Colin Cowherd School of Podcasting, and you can clearly see it with that effort right there. Very,
not great.
Very Cowherdian, like, joke.
Yeah, it was bad. I know it was bad.
Yeah.
All right, looking at the clock here, I know you have to eat. Let's hit these Q&As real quick.
Let's do it. Let's do rapid fire.
And let's get
Yes, Dumfries is trash. Right. No, Alessandro and I will not come to your birthday party. Next question. Anyway.
I may, depending on the amount of quiche you're willing to throw my way. At Nerazzurri Pirlo, Sean, what will it take for Inzaghi to take a chance from Alabama? What will it take for Inzaghi to take a chance on someone at wing back? How many bad performances do we have to see at this position? So, yeah, we talked about it with Tejan a little bit, but he's the guy that you try out.
100%. I don't know what it's going to take for Inzaghi to give him a chance. Is it going to take more injuries? Like, do more people have to fall before you give him a chance? Is he being cautious because he can't afford to lose Tejan? Like, I don't know. Like, we don't know how. I mean, I know he's been, you know, training already. But, like, do we know the extent of how hard he's able to go? You know, that's...
It was a major injury that he's coming back from, too. So, yeah.
That's a big one. So,
next question. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll kind of like leave it all. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to take. I mean, I hope he does get a run out soon, though, obviously.
It's probably going to take results not going his way. Because, like, even today with it not working, he takes home the 3 points and it gives him the confidence to continue to go after it, which is not a good thing. But anyway, at a person 1352, after suffering through brick freeze for 45 minutes, same thing. Is it safe to say TJ takes his place on the right side when integrated?
Please?
Inzaghi's never put him there. He's never put him there.
But can I just say weird. Please? Like, do you think it's because none of us have actually asked Inzaghi, hey, please?
Yeah, I don't think that there's much of a chance. I don't think there's going to be much of a chance that we see him on the right, especially with the Augusto injury. Like, now he is the, you know, left depth. So let's see how that shakes out. Nico Bocuzzi at Chad Hennessy 9. How many points out of 15 will Inter get in their next 5 matches? I'm going with 9. 9 out of 15. Wow. Juventus at home, Empoli away, Venezia at home, Napoli at home, Verona away. Wow, he thinks 3 wins and 3 losses.
Three wins and two losses. So, Nico, I wish you would have said who you think we're losing to there. Because ain't no way we're losing to Antonio Conte. In my opinion, I think we're walking away from that with 13 points.
Empoli, Verona, Venezia. I think there's going to be 2 wins and a draw in there.
You think we're drawing to one of those clowns? Yeah, probably.
Maybe Empoli, honestly. Because after right. Juventus... Yeah. We're going to be tired.
I'm going to be honest.
And then Napoli and Juventus.
See, I'm more worried about Juve, to be honest. I feel like we're going to, like, because we're hurt, they're hurt. I think it's just going to be a disgusting, like, let's both leave here healthy and take a point each kind of thing.
I could see that.
And Juventini are going to take a massive display from Thiago Motta.
Point each. So how about 2 points from Juventus Napoli? This is being super fucking critical.
You're going two draws?
6, 7 plus 2, 9 points. Oh shit. Nat, did I end up on the same thing as Nico? No, I'll change one to a win. So I'll go 11 points out of 15. I'll go 11 points out of 15.
I'm going 13, bro. We're getting 4 wins and a draw.
I want 15.
We're drawing 15. I want 15 too. I know we're going to drop points somewhere in there, but it's only going to be a draw though. I don't think we're losing a game. So Nico thinks probably 2 wins and 3 draws.
Maybe.
Listen here, Alora Nico Bocuzzi. I've watched your videos. If you don't bring that negativity Nima nonsense with 9 points here, get out of here, Nico.
That would be it's a tough stretch for us, and that would be a tough result.
It's not happening.
At Jerkbag Jerk, I'm thankful for the 3 points, but what the fuck? If Inter had an American on the team, would Paramount speak more favorably of the team? Yeah, I mean, of course.
Yeah. Okay, did anybody else see the blind rankings of strikers? And where they blindly ranked Lautaro Martinez?
No, I didn't see this.
So out of 10 strikers, let me see if I can find the whole list. Actually, it might be easier for me to just pull up my own Twitter because I quote tweeted it. But out of 10, they listed
who was doing the list.
I don't know these guys. I know their faces. I don't know their names.
Was it the is it the morning footy crew at CBS?
Yeah, some of those cartoon characters. Like the one guy who kind of looks like a Wish.com version of Matteo Bonetti. Okay. So here we go. I'm gonna go from 1 down to 10. Okay?
Okay.
So number 1, Erling Haaland. Number 2, Kylian Mbappe. Number 3, Robert Lewandowski. Number 4, okay, Harry Kane. Number 5, I always say this guy's name wrong, and I'm probably going to butcher it. Guirassy.
Yeah, Guirassy.
Number 6, get ready, people. Buckle up. Darwin Nunez. Oh, number God. 7, Dusan Vlahovic.
Yeah.
Number 8, yeah, we're getting there. We're getting closer, ladies and gentlemen. Alvaro Morata. And at number 9, Lautaro Martinez. The only striker that he's better than currently, I should say, is Ollie Watkins.
Yeah, this is poor ranking.
Kidding me. I understand it's blind rankings, right? I get it. And who knows? I didn't watch it. So maybe Lautaro came out 9th, you know? And they only had that or 2nd left. I don't know. I didn't see it.
It's the PR.
But you're going to tell me a guy who's up for Ballon d'Or is worse than Nunez, Vlahovic, and Morata? I think right now the only guy that I would truly take, I'm talking about right now, is Harry Kane.
You would take him over Lautaro? I would say Lewandowski. He's having a fucking incredible season.
I think in the style that Kane's willing to drop back, he's willing to work with the team. He's willing to, he'll work harder, as hard as Lauti would in the other aspects of the pitch, as opposed to, Haaland, you ain't going to get shit from. Mbappe, same thing. Lewandowski, fantastic finisher, but I don't think you're going to get the same work rate. I'm talking about, for Inter.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And it's because I think Kane is a better pure finisher than Lautaro.
Better finisher than Lautaro, I would say, yeah.
But then
Darwin Nunez.
Darwin Nunez ahead of Lautaro, it kills me. It kills me.
No. Gross.
Vlahovic ahead of Lautaro? Vlahovic. Criminal. Criminal.
I mean, it's just not real analysis.
But anyway, yeah, sorry. I don't think an American would give us more love. I think that it would just get us more views.
It would get us more views, and it would get us why isn't he starting kind of thing.
There's an anti-Inter bias on the Paramount panel. Because you got 2 Juventino and a Milanista.
He's just going to come out and say it.
Yeah, I'll tweet up Bonetti right now. I'll text him now. How about that?
There are no Interisti on the panel, so I think that's fair to say.
And it's because they don't want to hire me. They don't want the drama. They don't want it.
Let's get out of here, dude. It's late.
Yeah, I'm
all right. Sorry. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini.
Wait, that was the last question? Sorry.
That was the last one.
That was the last one. Okay.
Right in the middle of my sign-off.
I'm sorry, bro. I didn't think it existed. Brutal. The way you just cut that off was let's just get out of here. I didn't expect that.
Brutal. All right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.